Way to go, Jimmy Jammer. Let's give a big praise for the praise team this morning. Amen. Thank you, Tammy. That was great. Appreciate that. If you turn to Revelation chapter 13, we want to make sure that we get through chapter 13 today, and we'll take a break for a little while and get back in starting the seven bowls and the rest of the book of Revelation in August. This is a very crucial aspect of the book of Revelation. We've heard so much about the mark of the beast and what that means, what people think it means. 2 weeks ago, we started in on chapter 13 and we talked about the first beast. Today, we're going to talk about the second beast that will be revealed in the tribulation period of the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to open your word. Father, you know, my prayer is that you will move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us, Lord, who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you will comfort us. Father, this is your word and this is your truth. May we understand it, believe it, accept it, and live it. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. How many of you knew that there was going to be two beasts that was going to be revealed in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period? One is a political leader, which we talked about first in the first part of chapter 13. The second is going to be a religious leader. He's going to be known as the false prophet. In this section, this is a very important message that I want you as a church, I as part of the church, to understand and to filter in and to believe and to live out, because there is an unsuspecting world sitting there not knowing what is coming. And we as ambassadors and as embassies called the church, who has been sent by that fifth world kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to take an unwelcome message to a non-accepting audience. We are to take a message that people do not want to hear and tell them a truth that is going to happen whether they believe it or not. And we are playing church. You know how many of us in our lives today think that, and I don't know if you've ever said it, but maybe you've heard some others say it and you have heard it. And that statement is something like this. You know, my religion, my faith is a private thing. And I don't feel like I should push it on someone else. Have you ever been there? If it was a good Baptist church, you know, that last statement would have had some hooping and hollering going on. I would say something like, can I get a witness? And everybody would have said, oh, go, Pastor. But since we're on the east side, well, we go to our delis to get our salami. You got to be really pushy to get some response. Let me see if I can give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, there's some people here that work for Microsoft. My wife used to work for Microsoft. I nicknamed it Microslave, because they want all your time. and then some. Amen. Come on, anyone that works for Microsoft, can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see that? They're not going to say amen to that. Microsoft sells software. Can you hear? Do you hear any people here that work for Microsoft say, well, you know, your software is a private issue? And if I'm not mistaken, people can live without Microsoft software. They don't even need it to get into heaven. They don't have a password. But oh, will we spend millions of dollars telling everybody you ought to have Windows 2000, 3000, 4000. Can't hear you. You know, there's some people that work for a computer company that needs that Microsoft software. And I don't hear anybody in the computer business saying, well, you know, everybody's computer, that's a private issue. And if they want a computer or not, that's just fine. I just sit here and keep it running good until they decide they want a computer. Oh, no, I don't think so. You put it up, you got some Dells, you got some Compacts, you got some Gateways, and all of them will mess you up in your own way. Amen? And you're sitting there, but you go, oh, come on, you got to buy my computer. It's like, oh, it's the best computer in the world. You need this computer. Here, nobody's saying it's a private issue and we shouldn't push it. Some people work for soap, Tide, Procter & Gamble. Now, we hope you're using some soap, amen. But it's not necessary for you to survive. It's not necessary for you to be washed and tied to get into the heavenly gates. But I don't see anybody who's dealing with selling any products are concerned whether or not I'm going to make you convicted and make you upset if I try to sell you my product. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back, not as a suffering servant, not as one who's got to die on the cross, but coming back as a conquering king, he, you need to live and survive, but we'll go, you know, that's a private issue.
Come on.
As a church, I want you to get this message today. We need to wake up. We need to wake up and understand what our responsibility is to let an unsuspecting world know what is coming. Jesus Christ isn't the only one that's coming. There's a couple of beasts that's going to come before him. And you think it's going to be bad when Jesus is here. Wait till you see these guys and what they're going to do to the world. And we're sitting around in our little pious attitudes. And we're sitting around with our hypocritical ways. We're sitting around saying we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We got all the power in the world and we are cursing worse than anyone that's never in the church. We're supposed to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. He who can do all things through Christ. And we can't even keep our families together as Christians. There's time for you to stop thinking about you and what you want and put the Lord Jesus Christ on, the full armor of God, and walk in such a way where the world wants what you and I have, because the world's going to get blasted. I don't know about you, but if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in trouble. You know, they say most pastors are schizophrenic. They can be all serious and all of a sudden they just go. Smile and turn and look at you and go. We're kind of schizophrenic. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you feel today that I'm being a little pushy on you if you're not a believer.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Now, you came to church for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you're going to hear? About computers? I can't hear you. You were here for some reason. You got to be here that someone invited you and you thought, well, maybe I ought to go. Maybe I can hear something. Maybe I can learn something. I'm going to tell you something. I am not upset about you not having what I have, but I wish you have what I have. And if you leave him thinking the pastor was kind of pushy, wait until the Antichrist comes. If you think I'm kind of insensitive, wait till you go to hell. You know, it's amazing to me. Many people say, well, you know, I don't think I want to go to that church because there's nothing but hypocrites over there. What you going to think is going to be in judgment? Saints?
Come on.
Let me give you a secret. I am extremely bold with my Christianity because I win.
Come on, brother.
Anybody else with any other product that you know is classified as number one? If the Better Business Bureau said this is the best business out there, if someone said this is the best product on the market for this issue, anybody that owns that product is what? Are they ashamed of that product? Are they ashamed of that classification of being number one, the best? No! And neither am I. If I look at history, as I place myself in history, I see that time is divided by A.D. and B.C. Before Christ and year of our Lord, I don't see time separated with B.M. Before Mohammed. Can't hear you, church. I have the best one in all the world. Time is divided by my Lord and Savior. And even though people may not think he's God, he is so wholesome in history, they divided all time by him. I got number one, and I'm going to let everybody know. You know, he's just numero uno, babe. He's just numero uno. He's the best. Amen. All kinds of prophets died. He's the only one that came back. I think that gives him an A.
Come on.
He's coming back, though. Another church. He's coming back to kill. To wipe out. And the Antichrist knows that. And the second beast knows that. And they're going to do everything they can to kill everybody before he can get anybody. We have a responsibility as a church to let the world know we are his ambassadors. We are his embassies. That takes us to verse 11. Revelation chapter 13. I'm preaching so hard because I'm on. Get a couple of days off to rest my voice and go tanning. Been kind of pale lately. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and called to the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And thus great wonder, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast. Make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. He has power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Translated very simply, 666. 666. God's number is 777. God's number being perfect is 7. God made the week, 7. God made the weeks of Daniel, 7. It belongs to him. He is the perfect. He is the most powerful. He is in authority. He says, man, at best, just comes underneath me. 666. Mark of the beast. Now, we've heard people give all kinds of theological, dispositional, exegesis to scriptures till you get sick in your stomach about what the mark is. We don't know what the mark is. We do know it's something to do with being able to be scanned. We know it's got to be there in order for you, if you are not a believer in the tribulation period. We've already established, don't let famous movies set your doctrine. The scripture basically is teaching, I believe, that if you don't accept Jesus Christ during the church period, during the church age, and you have heard the word, when the rapture comes and tribulation starts, anyone that's ever heard is not going to be able to accept. You're going to go through the great deception. We talked about that in the first part of chapter 13. You're going to see how great that deception is. Only one's going to be able to believe is those that have never heard the gospel during the tribulation period, because you are in grace period right now. Tribulation is judgment. He has given you enough opportunities to accept him as his Lord and Savior. And when you refuse to do that, he's going to say it's too late when tribulation starts. Are you glad you came today? Yeah. Are you just going, who is that black man? Let's break it down, shall we? Beginning with verse 11. And I beheld another beast. What kind of beast? Another beast. How can you have another beast if you haven't had the first beast? In other words, how can you have another butter peanut butter sandwich cookie if you hadn't had the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie? Can I get a witness? Amen. See, we know how to make things realistic around here and simplify. We understand that another beast means it's not the same beast we talked about in the first part of chapter 13. That beast comes out of the sea. This beast, it says, look, it will come out of the earth. Oh, I love this, folks. You got to break it down. When we talked about the first beast, the Antichrist, the one that Satan himself, after being thrown out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation period and say, you can't come up here anymore, he's going to take all of his power and he's going to try to substitute what God did with his son. When Jesus Christ came as God with all the power and authority of the Father with him, Satan says, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to give all my power, all my authority on this earth to my beast, the Antichrist, my son. That's the first beast. The second beast is coming not out of the sea like the first beast. Remember what we already established, what coming out of the sea means. Every world kingdom came out of the sea. The Babylonian world kingdom came out of the sea. The Medes and the Persian world kingdom came from the sea. All they got to do is go back to Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12. You can see it. The third world kingdom, the Greece out of Alexander the Great, came from the sea. The fourth, the Roman Empire, came from the sea. I mean, the sea of mankind. That's where they came from. The first beast came out of that mankind because he's going to try to pull back together that fourth world kingdom, Rome, in order to go against God. This beast comes out of the earth. What does that mean? It don't mean it's going to come out of the world system like the other four world kingdoms, and it don't mean it's going to come out of the world system like the first beast. This beast is going to come out of the earth. The earth means the religious sect. He's going to come out of religion. Do you understand what this verse is saying? He's saying every aspect of the world is a religion. Everything the world does is a religion. Even when the world tries to say, I don't believe in God, that is a religion. You can't get away from what God established. God says, I'm the center of mankind. And even when you want to not talk about me, that's your religion. Is God awesome or am I just fooling myself? God's awesome. He said this second beast. The first one was a political beast. The second one is a religious beast. We get over to chapter 18, 19, and 20 of the book of Revelation, and we find out that that beast is called the false prophet. The religious circle. We don't know what that religion is going to be, but it could be very simple. You know, it could be someone like the Pope. Did I say it was the Pope? No, I did not. But it's going to be a world leader. The whole world is going to see this man as this religious leader of the world. And what is he going to do? I'm glad you asked that. This beast hates mankind. A religion that hates mankind. Now, that's a tremendous contradiction, isn't it? Check this out. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. This is not like the lamb we've already talked about earlier, back in chapter 7, 6, 7, and 8, is it? Is that like the lamb that we talked about? You remember the first lamb we talked about? A lamb that was slain. That lamb had seven horns. This lamb here only has two horns. Do you understand how uncharacteristic both these lambs are? Because one of the characteristics of a lamb is they don't have horns. Jesus Christ has all authority. Seven lambs, perfect number. This lamb only has two horns. That represents religion, and it represents the secular world. In other words, this lamb is going to come, and it's going to take the world church, world religion, and he's going to put it underneath government. And now we're going to have a world-class church. And I'm going to give you a secret. And it's happening right now, this day, with all our liberal buddies. And I hope that someone here is from a liberal church. Because you need to take this message back and you tell them my name, Pastor Ken Hutchinson, Antioch Bible Church, said it to you to sell them, and I say it to them in their face. Liberalism in church is nothing but a way to make government start taking over. We're watering down the Word of God so we can get along with a stupid world that's condemned. Can you believe it? We want to sacrifice the truth of God to get along with those that's condemned. Sounds kind of strange to the pastor. We're being set up. We are getting set up. We're getting ready for one world government. We're getting ready for the state church that the government's going to establish what you can and can't do. You want me to prove it to you? Sometimes it's hard to get the people on the east side to respond. Okay. Had to beg for amens. He had two horns like a lamb. He's going to wear two hats, political and religious. But look what this lamb does. He speaks like a dragon. What does a dragon speak like? Speaks like deception. Let's prove it. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. Let me ask you a question. If he's going to exercise all the power of the first beast, what does that mean? The first beast is going to give him authority to take care of the religious circles. I'm going to give you all my power so you can work deception in the religious departments. I take care of the political departments because I'm going to need the religious department to come underneath me in order for me to do what I need to do. Are you hearing what I am saying? The only one that the Antichrist himself is afraid of is the bride of Christ. We as a church have dominion, and we are afraid to sell our product. He says, I got to have the church under me in order for me to put the deception on the world like I need to do. And we are falling under their grace. You see, that's why I want to get back in there. And that's why I think the church ought to take dominion. Government don't tell us what to do. God meant for us to tell the government what to do.
Amen.
And as long as this church is in existence and I'm a part of this church, our goal and our job is to take back over the dominion that we have given up. And now if you don't like that, and you don't like what I'm saying, move. Get out. Go find a church that you can be comfortable in. Because it is not going to be that way here. And if you don't like the way I talk, you don't like the way the leadership is, you don't like the direction we're going, give the seat to somebody that would appreciate it. Because this church isn't dependent on you, and it's certainly not dependent on me. It's dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back. I'm enjoying this. Are you enjoying this?
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying this. He gives power to this from the first beast before him and caused the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We've already established about what the deadly wound is, the head wound. You know, the world tried their best to give all kinds of people the number 666. They tried to give everyone who is this guy who was wounded in his head and it was healed and now he's going to fool the world. Now, we've already established, if you missed the first part of chapter 13, that's the Roman Empire. And he who's going to head up the Roman Empire, he's going to bring it back together, is the Antichrist. Okay? Are we together on that? Okay, good, good, good. Verse 13. And he does great wonders. So that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Isn't Satan always trying to duplicate what God has done? Can you? God is often imitated, but he's never duplicated. Amen. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You remember the Old Testament when Elijah. Remember my boy Elijah? Elijah was a bad boy. I mean, I one of these days, Lord, I said, Lord, I just want to be like, I'll give you a little power. No, I want to be better than Elijah. I can't lie. I don't want to be just like Elijah. I want to be better than Elijah. Amen. I want Jesus Christ to use me like he's never used a man before. And I said, Lord, if I ever do anything that's going to embarrass you, kill me first. I've committed that before the Lord. And God know I'm serious. Amen. Now, what I said, here's Elijah. Here's a bad boy. Elijah was a bad boy. He got all these prophets of Baals against Elijah. One against all the people. Now, that's not a very good odds, you know. One against a whole bunch of people. Amen. Anybody tell you, if you're going to have a war, don't have a war with one person against a whole bunch of people.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I just want to make that simple. All right. Now, here's Elijah. And all the people of the Baal, the prophets of Baal are running around. Ah! And they're trying to get, they built this altar. See, and they got this cow, bull, whatever, sitting on top of the altar. They're shooting a lot of bull out there on the altar. You know what I'm saying? So what they're doing is they say, okay. So what I want you to do, so I'm going to sit back over here, Elijah says, and you call on your God Baal, and you have him bring fire from heaven and consume this sacrifice. So they all, they're singing and they're cutting themselves and they're bleeding. Bill, where are you? Please come down here. Folks are looking at us. We're looking pretty stupid right there. Come on down here, boy. Bring some fire from heaven. Bah! And Elijah's over there picking his teeth. He said, won't you scream a little louder? Maybe he can't hear you. And then the best statement of the whole Old Testament, Elijah says it. It don't say it straightforward, but if you translate it in Hebrew, Elijah does like that. After a while, because when you got the boss on your side, you can laugh at the other employees. Amen. You know what I'm saying? So he said that. He says, "Oh, won't you scream a little louder? Maybe he's sitting on the toilet. And right now he's kind of busy. He can't come out here and help you." Isn't that just a great statement, huh? I'm sorry. We're on the east side. I shouldn't do that. Maybe he's relieving himself, and he can't do two things at one time, just like any other man. You know what I'm saying? And when they got all through and they was all tired, they bled themselves out. Elijah comes over and says, "Okay, move back. Pour some water on that thing. Drench it. Get it all wet. We want it to be hot. Make it wet. Build a trench around it. Build a little Olympic-sized swimming pool or something. I don't know. Just drench it." Then he says, "Watch, my God. Okay. Woo. Fire from heaven, man. Just burned up the altar, burned up the bull, burned up the water." And then Elijah had all the prophets killed. What a man. Looking for a few good men. Oh, glory. And every day, then Satan goes, "Ooh, that's impressive. Oh, man, that's impressive. So, whoa, when it gets to the tribulation period, I'm going to have to substitute. I'm going to have to imitate that." And the false prophet, guess what he's going to do? He's going to come down and he's going to call fire from heaven to imitate what God did for Elijah. And you know what the world's going to say? Wow. Ooh, now that is a God I can serve. That's what the world's going to say. Only one problem with it. It's the wrong God. Look at it. Oh, he's so good. Oh. Is there any more services after this? Okay, this is the last one. Okay, good. We'll go for a little while then. I hope you don't have a roasting oven. Nah, we'll get there. Don't get nervous, Eastsiders. "And he deceived them, and he dwelt on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast." Verse 14. "Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. And he has power to give life unto the image of the beast." Oh, did you check that out? I can't hear you. You check that out. What the false prophet is going to do is he's going to come in under the power of the first beast. And he's going to say, "You know, you ought to build an image to the Antichrist." You remember that image building deal in the Old Testament? They're always trying to substitute what God has done. You remember that image in Daniel chapter 3? When Nebuchadnezzar, the first world power, no difference, man. It's no new stuff, just done differently, done over again. That's all it is. Remember the first world power of Nebuchadnezzar? He built an image to himself made out of gold. Serious gold, 90 feet high. A gold statue, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. Boy, if we could melt that down, could we do some ministry? Maybe somewhere buried, man. Maybe I'll start praying. You know what I'm saying? God help us find that image. We're going to show Satan, mess him up, use his own stuff to do stuff for God. But 90 feet high. And then he made a decree. You remember what the world leader, Nebuchadnezzar, number one powerful man in all the world with the first world kingdom? You know what he said? "Everybody, when you hear the band strike up a serious note, when you hear this particular music, I want everybody in hearing distance in the world to bow down to my image and worship me." Been Satan playing since day one to take the world away from God. But that was three people wouldn't bow. Remember them? Three people that wouldn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. You remember those three brothers? You remember them three brothers? Bad. The boys was bad. They said, "Yeah." So we're not careful. I love this. Let me tell you what they said. King Nebuchadnezzar says, I am the most powerful man in all the world. What God is going to get you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at each other and says, well, should we tell them right now? Or should we go home and pray about it? You know, we can bow on the outside, but inside we know we're standing up. You know what I'm saying, guys? Should we not, you know, we the world really don't understand our stand. So, you know, we shouldn't close down an opportunity to witness. What do you think about that, guys? Yes. Not. They are not like you and I. They don't mind dying for their faith. You and I don't want to give up our reputation for our faith. Please don't talk about me and to me about sacrifice. What, are you going to give up one of your four cars for Jesus? Come on, that's how we give in the church today. I give what I don't want anymore. Won't you start giving God something you want? They say, oh, we don't have to worry about this. We're going to answer you right off the bat. Our God. That's what God, if he so desires, he can. But let us tell you something. Nebby, we're going to tell you something, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar. Even if he doesn't, you will never see us bow down to your image. Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he says, heat up the furnace. Throw him in. The boys got thrown in the furnace. Even the guy, it was so hot, the guys that threw him in killed them. And all of a sudden, they're inside. Had their boom box on. And Nebi walked up and he says, whoa! What? Is my eyes playing tricks on me? Didn't we throw three people in there? Yes, you did, King. I see four. I just want to know, church. Is it anybody else in this congregation got number four on their side the way I do? Baby, I got number four on my side, and I got the Trinity in front of that. Ooh, I'm a bad motor scooter. When I got Jesus on my side. Can I get a witness? Let me tell you. See, but he's got to substitute this. You know, the old Antichrist, Mr. False Prophet, the second beast in chapter 13, he's got to substitute this. So I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to walk up to the beast, and he says, you need an image. Then he's going to make the world build an image to the beast. And then the false prophet's going to walk up, and he's going to pray. And he's going to say, image, come alive and speak. And CNN going to have their cameras on it. Nightly news. But Brokaw may be still there if he ain't, you know, he's trying to retire, but Antichrist may bring him back. Fox News will have their cameras on it. And the beast is going to open his eyes. The image of the beast will probably open his eyes and say, I want to tell you about God. The new God is here. The Antichrist. And the whole world is going to bow down to the false God. You know why? Because you and I, as God's ambassadors, are too chicken to warn the world that this is coming. It's going to happen. And we got the opportunity to warn the world. Warn them! Warn them! Warn them. We need to warn them. And when the image speak, listen to this. And he has power to give life unto the image of the beast. Verse 15, that the image of the beast should both speak. And then he's going to cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast shall be killed. And he calls all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and enslaved. Can anyone give me another word for all those? All people that don't belong to God, it's going to have to worship. It's going to have to take the mark of the beast. To receive a mark in their right hand or on their forehead. We don't know what that mark is. But we know in Revelation chapter 7 that God did something, so the Antichrist and Satan has got to substitute it. Remember, God put his mark on all his believers. The 144,000, he marked them up. Not for sale. Owned already. Purchased by the blood of Christ. Well, I tell you what. I'm gloriously saved. Saved. Gloriously saved. Marked. Sealed. By the Holy Spirit. And so will these 144,000 be sealed with the mark of God. But the Antichrist says, we can do that. And they're going to put their mark on. What it is, we don't know. But we know it's something that's going to be scanned. Something for proof. And listen to what he says. And that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Folks, let's wake up. Let's tell the world. We have to tell the world. They're in for it. We have the truth. And we're afraid to sell our product. As we close with verse 18. Now here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. God's number 7. Man number 6. And the beast number is 666. At Satan's best, he still falls short of God's perfectness. And he's going to kill the world. Do we have anybody? Do I have any takers that want to have the fourth one that was in the furnace? Do I have any takers of anyone who wants the second person of the Trinity on their side? Do I have anyone, any takers, who wants the number one son of God Almighty on their side? It's yours for the taking. You need to wake up and smell the scriptures. Will the maids please come forward? Bill and Patty, and will the high schoolers please come forward that's going to New York?